Hey guys, welcome to another Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in, wherever you are out there in the world today. Thanks for taking time to hang out with us. Rob from Cigar Federation here with you as always. Got a special guest host who don't get to hear any whining about baby puke and poop and stuff from Logan. We've got Seth from Seth's Humidor here joining us today as our guest host. Seth, thanks for taking the time, brother.
Absolutely, anything to help you guys out. So,
and it's always nice to get Logan off the camera for everyone out there,
isn't it? I mean, that's just a positive. That's the gift that keeps on giving when he's not here.
It is. I Skyped with him the other day, and I was like, "Man, he is ugly." So, it just came to me. So,
yeah. Well, I say it all the time.
You there, Mel?
Yeah, you there?
Yeah,
I'm here. I went through and I was talking. I did all the intros and then nobody said anything.
No!
it froze, Rob. I think it was in your system.
I'm not sure if it was me or what, but whatever. We'll start over again. I'll just start over again. How about that? I didn't start the timer anyway. So it's kind of a blessing. Hey guys, welcome to another Cigar Chat, brought to you live at CigarFederation.com. Broadcasts around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in wherever you are out there in the world today. Appreciate you guys taking some time. Rob from Cigar Federation here with you as always. Got a special guest host. Logan's ugly mug is floating somewhere around the country. I don't even know where he is, but we've got Seth from Seth's Humidor sitting in. Seth, thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
What's going on, brothers and sisters? Thanks for having me. It's always good to be here.
I think I'm just going to leave both intros in there. What do you think?
Yeah, do it.
It just makes the show a little more interesting. I want to keep it real and just tell everybody that I completely screwed up the intro to the show. So
it's all right.
We're just going to roll through it and power through.
You know how we can make this intro better?
What's that?
Introducing our guests.
Good. I did that already, but everybody else was gone. I introduced them to no one. Guys, we've got Emil and Z from Cordoba Morales Cigars here with us today. Guys, thanks for taking the time to hang out.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us, too.
Hey, boy, you guys are decked out. You got the banner in the background and matching T-shirts. It's almost like you knew you were going to be here.
Yeah.
Something like
that. We got some boxes back there with empty cigar boxes, and we put the banner on top.
That's behind-the-scenes stuff, because that looks, I mean, this looks like you're in a studio. You're in the Cigar Chat traveling studio.
Yes, it's ready.
So Cordoba Morales, this was, I was introduced to you guys at IPCPR this year, and I'm actually smoking the Family Reserve Torpedo, which I believe we're going to give some of these away a little bit later in the show, so everybody hang out and wait for that. But and we had a review go up today for the white label. And Seth, you're smoking the 19th hole, so we've got a bunch of different stuff that we can talk about. But give us a little bit of background on the company and, you know, how you guys got started in the industry.
The company we started in 2011 as Cordoba Morales. My family's been in Nicaragua making cigars for about 6 years now. And going back in Cuba, about 100 years, my family's been growing tobacco and making cigars, mostly grown. It was the business of my grandmother and my grandfather on my mother's side in San Luis Pinar del Rio. That's what they used to do, grow tobacco, prepare, ferment it, everything, get it ready to send it to Havana to the factories to be rolled. You can say a little bit.
So we started 3 years ago in Nicaragua. As he mentioned, his cousin makes cigars, but for other people. And we decided to take it on and put on the name of his grandmother and owe to her and all her great work. And she taught him how to roll cigars and all that good jazz. Yeah.
I've been rolling cigars probably since I'm like 7, 8 years old.
You've been rolling cigars since you were 8 years old?
Yep. And smoking since I'm 9.
That's a good head start on everyone else, and I'll tell you one thing.
I think so. That's I mean, we've heard like 14 and 15, but 8, that's 8 and 9 years old. That's
Sometimes I'm rolling cigars at events, and people ask me, how long you been rolling? And I'm like, 25 years. And they look at me, and they're like, but you like 35. And I'm like, yeah, I've been rolling since I'm 8, 9 years old. So.
So, Seth, we were playing with Legos, and they were rolling cigars.
Yeah, like a boss.
Probably.
Yeah.
It just goes to show you how little we are.
It just, I feel like I wasted my childhood.
But you know, but now that you mention it, I'm thinking Legos. I'm like, I'm now of the age, and I haven't done this, where I could build Legos and smoke cigars, and that would just be 15 times better than it used to be.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I secretly want to buy like the Millennium Falcon and build it out of Legos.
Yeah, I know.
I just don't know how my wife is going to would deal with that, because it's like $300 or something. They're really expensive.
We can split the cost. You could build it, then disassemble it, then I could build it.
Okay, that sounds
we'll
like
move forward. We'll
you
move forward.
For, you could pay for shipping.
So your grandmother had fields in Cuba for many years.
For many years.
And she remained down there.
She actually passed away when I was 9. Okay. So my uncle in Cuba now is the one that took care of the little fields that they have left, because my grandmother used to have like around 100 acres, and the family now has less than 10. Oh. It's been hard to other people, you know?
So your uncle still takes care of them in Cuba?
Yeah, and I still have at least 3-4 family members that roll cigars in factories in Cuba, and uncles and cousins that work the farm.
Wow. Wow, that's very – so it must be interesting having some of the family in Nicaragua and the other family in Cuba, and, I mean, you probably get to play around with tobacco and smoke a lot of different types of tobacco from time to time, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm lucky enough to get some leaf that a family member brings in a suitcase or something, and we do some stuff in Nicaragua with Ecuadorian, Nicaraguan, Cuban.
That's fun stuff. So you guys are based out of Esteli though now, right? You're rolling in Esteli?
Yeah, Esteli.
Okay.
The company is based out of Orlando.
Yeah.
That's where we live, but the cigars 100% everything made in Esteli.
Go ahead, Rob.
No, after you. Keep going.
I was gonna say, what is this? Your cousin's factory in Nicaragua?
Yes, he started a factory like around 5 years ago, a little bit over 5 years ago. Grow a little bit in the next couple of years. He started making cigars for Torano, and it grew from there. The name of the factory is American Caribbean Cigars.
Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Boxes right here.
Look at that. You really were. It's really just boxes back there. That's great.
I got some boxes full of empty boxes of the Cordoba Morales.
Empty boxes are good. That means that they're sold and they're out, and they're out in the market, so that's where you want them to be. Z, when we talked a little bit at IPCPR, it touched on the overlap between your cigars and golf. You used to be a golf instructor, is that right?
Yes, I tried and I didn't get nowhere, so living in Orlando, there is golf courses at every corner here. And I started working for Disney Golf. Well, Disney World had like 5 golf courses here, and I started working there, teaching and playing in the weekends. Still only played mini tours. It wasn't, you know, nothing big. But I had a lot of fun and had 6 years. I put 6 years with Disney teaching golf and playing golf every day, smoking cigars, and that's how the idea of having a couple of cigars that would be named, or, you know, with golf names and all that, I thought it was a really cool idea. And that's actually how I started, you know, selling cigars in a few of the Disney courses, and then everybody liked them. From there, we did the Family Reserve blend, and we started making boxes of 20, because the first cigars we did, they came in a little coffin with 2 cigars, and it was a front 9 and a 19th hole. And I also included a ball marker there, and we used to sell it in the pro shops.
That's how we got started. That's a great idea. That's a great idea.
I'm joking.
I mean, I would walk into the pro shop and I would buy one. And before I went and tore the course apart, you don't want to see me. I pretend like I can.
Oh God, it froze a little bit, but.
Yeah, we're having some connectivity issues, but we're going to power through it.
Okay.
So I'm actually smoking the Family Reserve. Now, that's the first, you said that was the first blend that you guys worked on, that you came out with?
The third one.
The third one.
First one was the Front Nine Connecticut.
Oh, right. Okay.
Second one was the 19 Hole Maduro, and this was the third one.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm smoking this one. I was going to smoke the White Label. Read John's review, and it was. He said it was a full body with a lot of spice, and I wasn't in the mood for anything full body with a lot of spice. But this one's got a fair amount of spice to it as well. Ecuadorian Habano wrapper, Nicaraguan binder and filler, a lot of spice up front, but it's got. There's a smoothness to it that I don't normally say that a cigar is spicy but smooth at the same time. But this one is. It's got a nice flavor to it. I'm enjoying it. And Seth, you're working on the 19th hole, right?
I'm loving this 19th hole. It's a really nice Maduro. It's smooth, but it's very rich and filling. It's kind of this old classic Maduro. It's not like a kill you Maduro, but it definitely has those Maduro qualities to it.
Yeah, I like a classic Maduro.
People are intimidated when they first see the 19th hole and they think it's going to be a bomb, but it's funny.
It's
a pack in
there.
And
it's got a dark wrapper on it.
It is. I mean, but it's, you know, Ashton Maduro was the same way. If you've ever smoked an Ashton Maduro, you see him, you're like, oh my gosh, the thing's going to be a beast. And you smoke it, it's just very nutty, very smooth, very rich. This is the same way. This is very nice. Now, the 19th hole, that's golf lingo for the restaurant, isn't it? Or the clubhouse or something along those lines?
After you finish with the 18 holes, you go to the 19th hole to drink a beer and smoke a cigar.
Hopefully.
And for me, I sit at the 19th hole for about 20 minutes tallying up my score because it takes forever to count that high.
Carry the one.
Exactly. Carrying something. It's it can be pretty savage getting out there. But we've got a few minutes before our first break. So we talked a little bit. You know what? Someone asked a question here, and I'm going to find it. And it was the what is it? We talk about cigars and golf all the time. And okay, yeah, it was Steve Wagner, and he said, "What makes golfing and cigar smoking such a natural pair, in your opinion?"
This is pretty basic, but in my opinion, it's one of the few sports that you have enough time to play around and do something else. Like smoking a cigar, you know. A round of golf probably takes you anywhere from 4 hours to 4.5 hours. If it's in a busy course where there is a lot of people playing and you cannot fly through it. So I played 2 hours before, but that's still enough time to smoke a cigar. But if you play a normal round of golf in a busy course, it's 4 hours, 4.5 hours. You have enough time to smoke a couple of cigars. You're in the middle of nature. If you have something just to put it down when you tee off, or you can also have something in the car to hang it in there, you know. I think it goes perfect. I don't know too many other sports that you can, you know, other than maybe bowling or pool.
Yeah.
Unless you smoke inside, you know. But out there in the golf course, you, like I say, surrounded by nature, and a cigar goes perfect, you know. You can also get it.
There's something peaceful for me about being on the golf course and just kind of cruising around. I just played in a tournament a couple weeks ago, and it was about 103 degrees outside. And we're walking around, and I'm sweating to death. But there's still something that's peaceful about it. And for me, you know, adding that cigar to the mix, it just kind of adds just a little bit extra to it. I mean, I'm not the guy who's drinking beers or cocktails or whatever on the course. That's never been my thing, but I will be one that's, I'm quick to fire up a cigar when I'm out there, that's for sure.
I wish I had the liver for it. I can't. My tolerance. I can smoke a cigar, but I can't drink if I want to have a chance of breaking 100.
I don't know. I saw you. You've got a beer going or something there. I saw a little.
Oh, yeah. We got a La Fin du Monde.
Oh, that's really good. Gosh, that's a great triple right there.
What are you drinking?
Cheers.
You know, I see that. I see it all the time, but I've never actually had it.
It's really good.
Is it really?
No, Rob, I'm lying to you. Yes, it's good. Buy some, man.
I'll have to check it out. I always see it. I've got a couple of liquor stores near me that have a really good beer selection. And I always see that particular bottle. And it's always in the bigger bottle, the 24 ounces or whatever it is. And I never pick it up for whatever reason, but I'll have to check it out.
That's not a big bottle, Rob. That's a normal-sized bottle.
Well, it's a big bottle for me. How about that?
Okay, there you go.
So we're going to talk a little bit more about cigars on the other side of this break. Hey guys, welcome back to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. We're here with Cordoba Morales Cigars. You got the Big Tuna sitting in for Logan. At some point, you're going to have to tell me what the deal is with that. But I'm going to remind everybody this next segment is brought to you guys by Cigar Federation and Project Manana. I think we're down to like the last 48 hours of our Project Manana fundraiser. Raffling off a ton of prizes. Just go to CigarFederation.com. You'll see the big banner right there on the front page. You can't miss it. Raffle tickets are $10, and then we've got prizes from everybody from Drew Estate to Crowned Heads, and there's a trip. I think we two or three trips to the Dominican to go down and tour some factories and hang out with some of the Project Manana kids and see where that money actually goes. So it's really good, a really good thing that we're doing. We've done it a couple years in a row, and I think we're a little bit short of our goals, so go to CigarFederation.com, click on that banner, and get in on that raffle. Okay, Big Tuna, what do you got?
What do you mean, what do I got?
You got some pretty sweet bracelets. I just saw those pretty sweet. You're all decked out, man. You got the bracelets going, and you're drinking out of a big bowl? Like, what's your deal?
It's my Tibetan tea bowl, and, dude, these are my Tibetan beads, man. It's my prayer beads. We're not going to get into that, man. Right now, we're talking about cigars. Don't change the subject.
No, I'm just giving you a hard time. We've got, like I said, we're here with Cordoba Morales. We've got a bunch of questions here from the audience, and I'm just going to start going down. There's one here from from Irate Base. I always get his name wrong, but I think this is an interesting question. Now, I didn't ask this off air. I'm assuming you guys are married, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Now, so no, it wasn't an inappropriate question by any means. So
you're married, right?
So the question is, who? I mean, obviously, Z, you've got the cigar background, and now how was it? Was it an easy transition getting your wife involved in the company, or was it something that she was open to, or? I mean, for me, whenever I'm smoking a cigar, my wife usually goes inside, although she's the one who bought me my first cigars to begin with. But so how did that transition come about?
I'm going to let her tell you a little bit, but one thing I'm going to tell you, I tell everybody,
oh Lord,
and it's not like my grandmother told me, when you find a wife, if your wife doesn't enjoy your cigar, change your wife.
Stop it.
She only had it. One choice.
Oh, Lord, whatever. No, he started, I started going to our local cigar bar, and I enjoyed the smell of it, but, you know, I would take a few puffs here and there and be curious. Of course, you know, being a newbie, it was a little too strong for me at the time, what my husband was smoking. So I started the flavor route first, and I did that for, like, about a year, but then I outgrew, and I started developing my palate, and now I like medium to full body thick. So I always recommend, I also work at a cigar shop, by the way. So when I have females that come in, or, you know, the husband that wants to pick out something to entice the wife, I start out with the little flavored cigars first and start from there. I call it like the fruity drink of cigars with the umbrella. That's what I call those. You start off there, you drink, and then you go up to scotch. So that's where I'm at now. I'm enjoying it.
It's the gateway cigar.
Yes.
Somehow with the drinks, I never left the fruity drinks. I still drink those. I just never left them.
There's something about a cocktail that's got an umbrella in it that really turns me on. I don't know what it is.
There's something about an Appletini that just makes my life complete.
You look like an Appletini guy. I would guess.
They're just tasty.
You throw back some of the Appletinis. That's funny. So when it comes to the blending side of things, are you guys both involved?
I'm more inside of like quality control, and I'll try out the blends, and if I don't like it, he trusts my palate at this point.
I do trust her palate. Because you blend and think it's great and give it to 10 different people and they can give you really good input. They don't have to be, you know, the aficionados or anything. There is people out there with great palate, and I know a few of them. So every time we do something, I give them a round and try to get feedback to always try to do something better. And Emil is one of those. You know, she sometimes we've done something and she say, no, I think that's off. And you know, when I try, and my cousin and everybody, I think she was right. You know, so.
That's pretty cool. Like this is unique. I don't know that I know of any other relationships or have seen any other relationships like this in the cigar industry. So that's a pretty cool thing that you guys got going.
Thank you.
Seth, I'm gonna keep going down these questions. Feel free to jump in whenever you want.
No, these are good questions.
No, I just don't want you to feel like, you know, you're being ignored.
No, I'm not. I know I can just interrupt anytime.
Yeah, you do take after Logan way.
What type of Maduro wrapper is it on the 19th hole? I know you say
that's a broadleaf Maduro.
Okay, I thought it was
from Ecuador. Yep.
Okay, yeah, because they are growing broadleaf in Ecuador. It's just no one really talks about it.
Yeah, when we started the blend 3 years ago, I used another wrapper. It was a Habano Maduro, but then this wrapper is, in my opinion, has a good. It's thick enough that it would not only mature and get to the color that you really want it, but it is strong, and the cigar actually, sometimes with my bigger ring gauge cigar at the beginning, the wrapper would split here and there, but this one, it's been really good using this wrapper.
And it's one of those things that not all seeds can really do well as wrappers, because you're right, it's just they'll stretch, they'll crack, they just don't do well with it. So, but this Ecuadorian broadleaf, I mean, you can tell this is a thick leaf, but it's really tasty.
Yeah, sometimes I, like you say, we have a wrapper that is awesome to make a Lancero or Petit Corona, but if you take it to the bigger sizes, you know, it's not strong enough, not thick enough.
So since I got a little follow-up there, since you mentioned bigger ring gauges, that's always a conversation that we have here. And I think this might be a first, excuse me, for the show. John Randolph says, I love big ring gauge sizes, a big ring gauge size cigar. Normally we get, our side of the crowd is on the Coronas, Lanceros, and things like that, but John likes the big ring gauges. He says, do you have any of the bigger ring gauges? And if you do, maybe give him a rundown of the cigars you have that are available in a bigger ring gauge size.
Yeah, actually, the 19th hole comes in my biggest ring gauge is 6x60.
Okay.
Trying to get that out, you know, because to be honest, for me, it's really hard to blend anything bigger than that. We try, and it's never balanced enough. And there might be people out there that can do it, but I haven't enjoyed any cigars bigger than that. So 6x60, we have it in the Maduro. In the Family Reserve, also 6x60. And just recently, I did my first batch of Connecticut Front 9 6x60.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
The Clave, the white label that you guys reviewed today, actually comes in three sizes, Robusto, Toro, and Toro Gordo 6x60. But it is box press.
Okay. Well, that was actually going to be you're one step ahead of me. That was the next thing I was going to bring up. That's the new release. I want to make sure I say this right. The Clave Cubana. Etiqueta.
Uh-huh, perfect.
Oh, that was pretty good. Etiqueta Blanca. So give us a little bit of information on that one, because that's a new release that just came out at IPCPR, correct?
Yeah, tell them a little bit. I'm going to get a book so we can, because I know there's another question.
Oh, okay, so this is, sorry, this is five-year-old aged San Andres Maduro wrapper. Inside is all Nicaraguan, and we also have from the region of Ometepe, which is a volcanic area, if people aren't aware of where Ometepe is. So it gives it a, it's an awesome freaking stick. I love it. It's very full body. A lot of people, it's full body, but balanced also with the flavor also. We don't like some cigars just for the sake of them being, you know, to drop you on your butt. It has to be some flavor behind it as well. And so, you want to go in with the...
And I know, Rob, that somebody was, I read the question. He wanted to know what was the musical notes.
Yeah.
Do with the cigar. And last year, at the show, we presented this cigar. We watched the original Clave Cubana. And it actually has a CD inside of Cuban music.
Oh, cool.
Original Cuban music, actually recorded by a friend of mine who's a three-time Grammy Award-winning musician. And all original for this box. It's not like you can buy it anywhere else. Huh. So, clave is the two musical instruments, the wooden stick that in Latin music, they hit each other and they made the pop, pop, pop. It covers all the music, you know, it's like what keeps the time in music.
Yeah.
Actually, clave sometimes look like cigars, you know, look like two cigars. Yeah,
there's a little hollow. I used to be a percussionist, so I know all about the claves.
I played a little bit of percussion too growing up. I played drums and timbales, conga, bongos, everything.
Yeah.
So when we did this one, this wrapper that I used for this, the first clave, and I don't think I'll be able to get it again. It was a really unique Criollo wrapper, Criollo 98, and it was very limited. We only did 1,000 boxes of 10 cigars, and we wanted to do something for the next IPCPR with the same name, but we changed it to the white label because it looked really good with the San Andres Maduro wrapper, and we wanted to leave the whole theme, everything like that. And actually, this wrapper, I'm going to have it every year, so I can actually release a new clave every year.
Okay. Cool.
That's why we went with that.
So are you a big fan of the – yeah, shut up, Rob. are you a big fan of the San Andres wrapper?
I am, but it is a really tricky wrapper to blend.
It is.
People think because it's so good and so flavorful, you put anything on there and it's going to be a great cigar, and it's not. Nah.
They're either good or they're bad.
Yes, and they're really bad sometimes.
Yeah, so, thank you, because you're on it, because that needs to be said. And a lot of the times, they're also box press too. Yeah. Do you think the wrapper does better press than it does just in a regular Parejo? Or?
I tried them both ways, and probably, to be honest, next year I might do a clave round, you know?
But yeah.
The wrapper, and the, like we were talking earlier, is so thick and strong and beautiful. You can really press it, and it looks really good, you know?
So yeah.
That's why I guess a lot of people box press. I also want to do a round one, but to start the first edition, we wanted to do a box press because it's a perfect wrapper to press. But I was talking to one of my idols and a good friend of mine in the IPCPR, Ernesto Carrillo, about, and I want to share that with you, about how hard it is to blend that wrapper, and you have to be really careful what kind of binder you put so it will complement each other and not fight each other. And it's not that easy. You know, it looks really good, and a lot of people think that, like I say, I'll make a cigar and put San Andres. I got some San Andres, you know, it's hot. But I'm not saying mine is good. You guys got to try it, but I think we did a good job.
It is a tough wrapper. I know there's, you know, one manufacturer right now who's I'm close with, he's working with it, and it's just tough to work with. You know, I just smoked the Sindicato Maduro by Cas Fernandez and Sindicato, which is that Mexican San Andres in the 6x16. It was very good there. I mean, they did a good job with it. But there's a lot of people who just don't really do a great job with it. It's just, it turns out bland.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a little bit of eagerness to work with that wrapper because it has been so popular over the last, what, 3 or 4 years for, you know, everybody wants to get a blend with that wrapper on it. And Seth, like you said, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It probably seems simple to everyone out there because it seems like it's an abundant leaf. There's a lot of it around. Everybody seems to be working with it, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's easy to work with. We'll get into a few more audience questions, wrap this up on the other side of this break. Hey guys, welcome back to Cigar Chat, brought to you live at CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. We're here with Cordoba Morales Cigars and Big Tuna sitting in for our traveling man, Logan. I don't even know where Logan is. He's just running around chasing babies and doing all kinds of weird stuff. But
who cares?
Yeah, who cares, exactly. The show seems to run a little bit more smoothly without him here. Maybe it's more welcoming. Is that it?
You know what it is? It's just better.
it's just better. Don't try to dissect it. Just roll with it.
You can quote me on that.
I will. And I'll share that with everyone. Like I said, we're here with Cordoba Morales talking about some of the new blends and a few different things. So it looks like we've got some questions about how can people get a hold of your cigars. It looks like you guys are around in a lot of the places in Central Florida. Are you available online? Do you guys sell online anywhere?
Yes, Cigar Hustler.
Okay.
And Old Time Cigars, both here in Orlando. They have the whole line on the online store.
So you guys can find them online there, and there's a lot of people asking. They want to try some of your stuff. Let's see. I'm going to go back through some of these questions here. You guys, we covered a lot of this stuff already. This is a good question. So how has your line grown other than, obviously you've added cigars every year. How has your line grown over the last few years? What trends and things do you see in the industry that are kind of shaping your company for the future?
Our company has grown like from 2 cigars to now we have 6 cigars. We have I'm not going to count this old Clave because it's almost, done. I'm not going to make any more, but we have the Clave, the Pure Pinard, the one that I sent to you guys. Mm-hmm. Some of those, most of them were Pure Pinard. And that was a cigar that I did at the November, December last year, and it's my entry level. It sells for $6.50 to $7.
Okay.
And it only comes in 2 sizes, Torpedo and Toro. And it's the first cigar we've done that we use fillers from other countries, not just Nicaragua. We put a little bit of Dominican, and actually a Ligero leaf from Pennsylvania, USA. Oh. And it has the Nicaragua and Ecuadorian Habano wrapper. It's, medium at the most, but it has a good flavor. And I think it's a good deal for $6.50, $7.
Yeah, it's nice to have something in that price point because, we get spoiled. And Seth and I, I'll speak for myself. I get spoiled because I feel like I'm always smoking the new stuff and but the price point on some of these things now, it just gets so outrageous. But to find a good quality cigar in that $6 to $7 price point, it's always nice to have that in your portfolio. Of the blends, excluding the white label, what's been your best seller to date?
The Family Reserve Habano is actually been the best seller of the line. Other than the last 6 months, we've been seeing the Maduro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty close.
I can see that. That's a good Maduro.
Cigars with the golf names, and maybe some people thought, that's just a gimmick or a joke, or, I don't want to smoke a cigar that would name like that, whatever. But I think people are paying more attention and seeing that we are doing this because we love it, and think we know what we're doing, even though we learn every day, but the names had nothing to do with the quality of the cigar, you know? So the Maduro has been cashing up big time.
Yeah, I can see why the Family Reserve, that's the one I'm smoking about halfway through. I can see this hitting a lot of different palates. I think it's got enough kick to it and enough spice to it to satisfy that quote-unquote modern palate, like a smoker like Logan who likes the big, powerful stuff. But there's a lot of nuance to it. There's some creaminess to it. There's a smooth factor in there as well, where I can really see that this is the type of cigar that a lot of different cigar smokers will enjoy. So when you it didn't surprise me that you told me that this is your best seller, because I can really see that it does kind of cross those boundaries. So I got a kind of a long-winded question here from Mickey. But I think this is a good question. He says, I've read many reviews, and almost all of them praise your cigars. And your reference to kind of one of the best-kept secrets in the cigar industry. What are you guys doing to get your name out there with social media and things like that? I mean, you know, interviews like this. What have you guys tried that you found has been most successful to help you get your name out there in front of cigar smokers?
I think for now, at this stage in our company, social media has played a big role, mm-hmm. Our name out there where we're not at the moment. I'm the one that's in charge of social media for the Instagram and the Facebook, and a lot of people assume it's, oh, hey, dude, oh, hey, brother, and I'm like, oh, it's okay. we have more following on Instagram than we do Twitter. I'm not a big fan. I'm trying to gain my following there, but I usually just Instagram out everything from there. It does it automatically to Facebook and Twitter. And so that way, Cigar Hustler and Old Time Cigars, which are, you know, here, have seen a lot of requests go up for our cigars out of the state, so that's good and reassuring. Obviously, our next step would be to, you know, start advertising in the magazines, which hopefully by the beginning of next year we'll be able to start doing that. But for now, for the little guys, social media has played a big role.
I looked at it since we started. I looked at advertising and magazines and all that, and they're good and everything, but when you don't have a big budget and you really want to keep making good cigars, my number one priority was having the tobacco. And I can say that we have a lot of tobacco, a lot of good leaf pilones resting there, and that for me is the number one key, you know, because you cannot sell a cigar if you can make it, you know. So I wanted to grow little by little organically, and when I have a bigger demand, at least I can say I have the tobacco to make the cigars, you know. So
That's been you're planning ahead. It's funny, and it seems so simple and basic from a business standpoint. But when you're dealing with something like tobacco, where you have a finite amount of tobacco that, whatever the particular blend may be, if you're not planning 5-10 years in advance, maybe you can only make that cigar for a few years. And you see a lot of companies come and go. But I'm glad to hear that doesn't sound like that's going to be something that happens with you guys. Question here in regards to some tobacco leaves. This is from A Huge Nerd. It's his name. He picked it. He says we were talking about San Andreas wrapper. He says San Andreas seems to be the next. It's kind of the big thing over the last few years with as far as wrapper leaves are concerned. What other obscure or little known tobacco leaves do you think that we'll start seeing being used in the future? Or do you have anything maybe coming down the pipe that's going to use something a little bit different?
I would say my favorite leaves that we have worked with, and everybody knows, but they're great, is Ecuadorian Habano. But I have to say, there is a broadleaf, Pennsylvania broadleaf wrapper that we have some in Nicaragua now. And I know AJ Fernandez is growing some. That's pretty good. I tried it. It has an awesome flavor, big leaf, beautiful leaf. And I think if I can pick one, I would say that Pennsylvania broadleaf would be something big in the coming years, like a Connecticut broadleaf.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good leaf. It's a good wrapper. AJ does a good job of it.
Let's see, I'm going to keep going down with some of these questions here. So breaking into the market with so many combinations, although you guys really came in with two different blends and you kind of worked from there, what's been the hardest part about consumer marketing for you guys as far as, you know, getting that next step? I mean, like I said, you guys are you're present in Central Florida. I mean, that's where you guys are based, so that makes a lot of sense. But what are the hurdles that you guys have to go over to jump over to get into that next level where you're available more widely throughout the country?
I think that's a hard question.
That's the million dollar question, right?
I can understand some of the retailers' standpoint. Sometimes they want you to do, you know, help them. When you have no name or you're not a big guy, you know, what can you do for me to put your cigars in people's hands? And I think that's easier to do when you have the retailers like we did in Central Florida. We're around then and we can go and visit. And if we do an event, I go and roll cigars and people really enjoy that. And they already go calling me, hey, when are you going to roll again? Because I really like the hand rolls you did at the event. And here in Central Florida, it's been easier. But to branch out, it's tough, you know. Once in a while, you get people like in the show. We met a couple from Michigan. They picked the line up, and they've been reordering every 3 weeks. They say everybody loves the cigars. I wish more people give us that chance, but it's hard, you know. And I don't blame anybody for that. There is a lot of cigars out there, a lot of good cigars, and it's a tough thing.
We just gotta travel more.
Yeah, we gotta get out there, like Mr. Fratello does.
Oh yeah, our boyfriend.
He's a big guy.
You know what? If we've had him on the show before, really nice guy, and he is. If you follow him on Instagram at Fratello Cigars, he is all over the place.
Yeah, appreciate
that. Well, he's so big. I mean, he takes two steps, he leaves the state and enters another one. The guy's huge.
Yeah, he's a big guy. So you guys had, speaking of IPCPR, you guys had a great placement. You know, you were right over there by the food, yeah. So you probably got a lot of foot traffic. So how, for you guys overall, how was the cigar accepted?
Actually, at this show, I think it's been our best show by far.
This is our third show.
We were in Orlando 3 years ago, went to Vegas last year, and this year it was the... We talked to the most amount of people. We wrote the most orders. All of the clients that already knew, they came and placed an order. They were, you know, waiting for us to try the new cigar. We saw the new Clave, really good. So it was the best show by far. I heard from some people that it was a slow show, but you said it. I think we got lucky with the location, and for us, it was not that case. I mean, Two days, I didn't even went to lunch because I was so busy talking to people all day and got into it. So when I look at the about to get out. So
yeah, it was really good. We're happy. Hopefully, it'll be the same in Louisiana. Yeah,
you guys had a great spot. Excuse me. And I mean, that's how we found you guys. When we were walking over, we went to go get the food. We saw you guys and came over and said hello. So. That's good to hear that it was a good show for you. You know, we're just about out of time. Talk about time flying. Give everybody, just real quick, remind everybody where they can find you online, where they can buy your cigars online, and, you know, if they want to get in touch with you, how they can do it.
Okay. So it's either CordovaMorales.com or shorter, CN as in Nancy, M as in Mary, cigars, CNMcigars.com. Okay. And you can find the same thing, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah. You can repeat again, Cigar Hustler.
For online purchase, yeah, Cigar Hustler and Old Time Cigars.
Cool.
Their web.
This is a good Maduro. I'd recommend a lot of people picking this up. And I think if you got some of these older smokers who've been smoking some of these more traditional Maduros for a while, and you put this in their hand, they'd really fall in love with it because it's really that type of cigar. It's a good stick.
Thank you very much.
Really glad you like it.
Good parting words from the tuna.
Man, I like tuna.
I actually had a big tuna sandwich. sandwich for lunch today.
It was, I'm all over the place.
Maybe it was subliminal. I knew that the tuna was coming on the show. And actually, the way you're talking about that Maduro, it sounds like something that I'd really enjoy.
You dig it. I'm thinking you really would dig it. It's very tasty.
Yeah, it sounds. I think I got one of those from you guys at IPCPR, so I'll fire that one up next. But guys, thanks for checking out another Cigar Chat. We appreciate the support. You can find us at CigarFederation.com. Thanks to Seth from SethsHumidor.com for sitting in for Logan. Guys, thanks for joining us again. Cordoba Morales Cigars. Appreciate you guys taking the time. And everybody, look for those cigars online. You can find them at CordobaMoralesCigars.com, CNM Cigars on all your social channels, and you can pick them up. Cigar Hustler, and what was the other one?
Old Time Cigars.
Okay. Thanks, guys. We'll be back next week. I'm not prepared. Usually Logan is the one who tells me who's coming up next week. That was Seth's job, and he dropped the ball.
That was not part of my job description.
We're going to be back here next Thursday with Crux Cigars. So I'm interested to talk to those guys, too, another one of the newer companies on the market. So, again, thanks, guys, CigarFederation.com. Everybody stay safe and have a good week.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, so that concludes the AFRN segment. So now, normally Logan comes back and greets everyone with a barrage of swear words, so you guys can say shit or, you know, asshole or anything that you want now, because we're not under any. Although you guys are pretty classy people, I don't expect that you're gonna.
Thank you so highly.
Did I catch you off guard with the compliment?
No. Usually I love you first, so I have a sailor's mouth.
Okay. All right. So we've got, you guys were very generous with some cigars to give away. So we've got, I know we've got some of the Family Reserve that we're giving away, and we've also got, what are the other ones that we've got?
The Puro Pinar.
Oh, the Puro Pinar are different sizes we're going to give away as well. So tonight, I'm going to pick six winners from the live audience, and I'm going to tell you guys how to win that here in a second. I'm also going to pick two winners from the podcast audience. So we're going like SigFed honor code here. If you're watching us live or you're participating live, you can't win from the podcast, so just don't even try. And I know your email addresses, so you're not going to win anyway. But for the podcast listeners, we're going to pick two winners, five packs. Email me at rob@cigarfederation.com. And just tell me what cigar that I was smoking today and what cigar that Seth was smoking. So that's it. Just tell me those two things. Put Cordoba and Morales in the subject line and include your mailing address. So when you win, I can actually send the cigars to you. And
I got a question.
You got a question. Go ahead.
When you the Puro Pinar, you know, the name, obviously you're paying tribute to Pinar del Rio. You know, your birthplace. Did you blend that cigar to be, I hate saying it, Cuban-esque, to really show that Pinar del Rio tobacco quality?
I would say it has a little touch of Cuba, but the idea behind the cigar, I don't know if you guys know this, probably not, but in Cuba, the people, everybody calls their father Puro. So, like I call my dad instead of dad or pops, whatever, in Cuba we call him Puro, and Pura to mom, something pure. So it goes for that. And I actually did that cigar just thinking of my dad, you know, Puro, and he's from Pinar del Rio, so Puro Pinar del Rio. That was what was behind the name of Puro Pinar.
Very cool. I had no idea that was the term that was used. I didn't know that. I learned something.
Another good question by the tuna.
Yeah, you don't say a lot, but when you do, you drop pearls of wisdom. It's awesome.
When you see a Cuban somewhere and they're telling you they're from Cuba, grew up in Cuba, tell us, oh, what's Puro? And they shoot to you.
Oh, so that's kind of like the litmus test of did you really grow up in Cuba?
Yeah, I'll tell you if he's really from there.
Oh, so we can call bullshit on people sometimes now. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. We can call people out.
It's kind of like the 19th hole. You know, say, hey, I'll see you at the 19th hole later on. See where they go. They know their golf lingo.
See where they end up. They end up in the parking lot. Okay, so
I never leave the 19th hole.
Yeah, that's probably smart. I probably shouldn't either.
I'm just drinking my Le Fin du Monde.
Yeah, I... And you know what? You mentioned drinking. What are some of your favorite pairings? And we usually talk about this. Yes, some of the best pairings that you've got with some of your different blends.
I like Scotch a lot with any cigar. Macallan, Balvenie, those are my favorite too. But lately I've been getting into good beer too, you know. There's so many good microbrewers out there. I guess it's like cigars, you know. A lot of people that I never heard of, and I try the beer and I'm like, wow, from all over the place, you know. Sometimes I go to a big liquor store, if you can call it a liquor store, right? Here called Total Wine. I don't know if you got that.
Yeah, I got a Total Wine. I live two blocks from it. That's why I'm an alcoholic.
And I go there and I grab different beers that I never heard of, and sometimes sit out here and try with the cigars, and there is good pairings there too. I don't know a lot about beers, but I'm learning.
Le Fin du Monde is a great pairing with most cigars, especially those Sol Habano wrapper cigars. It does perfect. It's a great morning beer too. So.
To fix the hangover, right?
Oh man, just to get the day going right.
There's really nothing better than a good morning beer. Like I love morning brew, you know.
And maybe a lunch beer. A lunch beer is good too.
Lunch beers are. We might have a problem.
Dinner beer is great too.
We might have a problem. I don't
no,
know.
You don't. You know why? You don't have a problem. You know why? Because you've accepted it. It's not a problem.
So now it's just part of my character. It's not a problem.
We've accepted it. We live with it, and we roll with it. So.
No judgment.
Okay.
No judgment. That's why I'm Big Tuna.
I'm just drinking water here today, guys. That's it. So, although we do another show. Quick little plug. We do another show here on Cigar Federation called Sharing Our Pairings, and we'll have another show. We're doing a show tomorrow. And we do different pairings, beer and wine, and we did some with soda and things like that. And I found this beer, and it's a Canadian beer of all places, and I can't even pretend to pronounce the name of the brewery because it's French Canadian, so whatever. But the beer was called Aphrodite, and it's a chocolate stout that's brewed with vanilla beans. Absolutely fantastic.
I like it already.
Oh, it's absolutely fantastic. And I'll have to check out what the name of the brewery is, because I went down and I've got a liquor store. It's not like a big chain store. It's called Monument Liquors, and it's in kind of a questionable part of town. And I had never been in there, but somebody told me that occasionally they'll get Pliny the Elder in there from Russian River.
Oh yeah.
Which is really harder to find, even though Russian River Brewing is like 45 minutes away from me, and I still can't find it. They have at least 300 different beers in there. It's like you walk in, and it's like beer heaven. But that was where I found that one. It's a chocolate stout brewed with vanilla bean. I went back and bought a few more. It's pretty damn tasty. Nice. So. Real quick, I need to do these giveaways because I know the weasels out there are chomping at the bit. So we're going to pick six winners. Nothing fancy. Just email me, Rob at Cigar Federation. Put Cordoba and Morales in the subject line. And actually, okay, just to see if you guys are paying attention, what are the Cuban terms of endearment for mother and father? Put that in there and spell it right and include all your information. So, and then I'll,
Rob, you don't even know how to spell it. How are you going to know if they spell it right?
Well, we have a private chat here. I'll check and make sure that we spelled it right. I can spell it, I just can't pronounce it. And when I try to, pronounce it with any sort of accent, I just sound like a goofy white dude. So I just try to avoid it.
That's how Catfish and I are getting with our What Embargo show.
Yeah. So let's see. Let me make sure that we cleared up all these questions here. So. Was there anything that you guys wanted to talk about that we didn't cover yet?
I think everything was.
It was everything you expected and more, huh?
And more.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm just looking through these questions. I think we pretty much covered everything. And you know, one thing we talked about, larger ring gauges. I know you also have some stuff available in smaller ring gauges. I've got the Family Reserve in a Lancero that I'm going to review here pretty soon. And do you is that a common thing, or is that do you have all your blends in Lanceros, or just a few of them?
No, only the Family Reserve.
Oh, just the one.
But it's been my, I would say it's been my hottest selling size for the last year.
Really?
And it's a box of 30. It's a big box.
Wow.
When we started, oh, wow. I didn't even make that many boxes. And it started going so good that I just, I haven't gotten yet, but in my next shipment, I'm going to have some Lancero in the Clave Cubana, the new Clave Cubana, black and white label with the Maduro and Lancero. So when I get some, I send you some for you guys to try.
Because oh, fantastic.
For sale yet. It's going to be for me to smoke and give to some people, see what they think.
Cool. So that might be something that we see in the future. But for now, it's you're just kind of doing a little test with it. So that's, yeah, people always, it's we hear conflicting things about Lanceros. I mean, in the online community, we're the big-time cigar nerds. We're the guys who really seek that stuff out, the smaller ring gauges, the more classic sizes. But I've heard, you know, that selling Lanceros in B&Ms, a lot of companies have a problem with it. That sometimes they just don't move. But it's interesting to hear that that's one of your best sellers.
And I think it's because we're not that big, and most of the shops that we are in are serious cigar smokers, and the owners really back everything they have there. And we have even stories where people have been selling online, and they didn't even want a Lancero. And I give them a cigar. When they try, they're like, oh, my God, this is so good. This is the best Lancero I ever had. I usually have problem with the draw. And they cut a couple. And they, I have to say, one of the things that we really have all the time put into is the draw. I hate to have cigars that are plugged. Sometimes I would say some of my cigars are on the easier draw than some people like. But I just hated growing up in Cuba. And the Cubans like to put so much tobacco inside the cigars, and sometimes it's a struggle just to smoke a cigar, you know? So much tobacco you can't draw anything.
Do you like Lonsdales?
Yes, I do.
You should make a Lonsdale called the Big Tuna.
I like that, man.
Because not that many people make Lonsdales, and I'll back it. I'm trying to get someone to make a cigar called the Big Tuna.
Big Tuna, I love it. Hey, man. It'd be like the oxymoron of the Alec Bradley Texas Lancero. So
exactly. The Big Tuna. It's a Lonsdale. People are going to be like, what the heck? How did he get Big Tuna for a Lonsdale?
Don't tell nobody else. I think I'm going to do it.
Do it. You should. I'm not going to say anything. I'm holding you to it.
Well, I'll edit this part out so no one will see it.
I'd probably freak out if you guys actually made a Lonsdale called Big Tuna. I don't know what I would do.
You're not saying that because you trademarked the name, and then I'm going to get a letter in the mail. The Big Tuna.
No, I'm not even clever enough to do it. So I'm probably the one who'd probably get a letter saying, hey, you can't use the term Big Tuna anymore. I'm like, what? I've always been the Big Tuna.
Well, just to echo that, Lonsdale for me, that's one of my favorite sizes too. I don't know what it is.
It's a terrific size.
It just seems like, no matter what, I don't think I've ever had a bad one, and they're all different blends and all different, you know, all different origins. But something about that size, the ratio of you know, wrapper to filler, I don't know what it is, and I'm not smart enough to figure it out. But something about that Lonsdale.
No, but you're right. That's a heck of there is a couple of sizes that I really love, and a 4.5 by 42. There was a cigar in Cuba that I used to smoke out. That's an unbelievable size, and a lot of people don't.
Great size.
And it's because, you know, in this country, a lot of people want to, you know, get the bang for the money. You know, if they pay $7, $8, they want enough tobacco. But that size, the Petit Robusto, like 4.25 by 49 or 50, is amazing too.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't do it, I guess, because of the market going to the biggest cigar.
It is. I mean, and it's Lanceros can be great, but it's tough because you get into that 38 ring gauge and you really have to good wrapper. You have to have a really good wrapper. But I think if you can get a cigar in that 42 to 46 ring gauge, where you're getting a Corona, Petit Corona, Lonsdale's, Corona Gorda is a true one, you have a phenomenal cigar with it.
It's true. You are 100% correct. Some of my favorite sizes are there.
Oh, yeah.
46.
Another great topic by the tuna.
The tuna is killing. Nobody's killing it.
No, oh, my gosh. I love these guys. No one's Cuban like tuna. That's...
All right. Well, before your head gets too big to fill up the screen,
I know exactly. I'm about to lose it. I'm using that one forever.
You are about to lose it. Let me go through and just pick these winners real quick, and we can wrap that up. I'm gonna pick. Let's see. I'm gonna just kind of go in order here. Rob Gibson. He was one of the first. He was actually the first person to mail it in. Wow, how did he get it in so early? He must have answered that question before I even asked it.
He had the email ready to go.
Yeah, he had it ready to go, man. Okay, so Rob Gibson, big winner. I kind of have to reward this guy. Shooter, every time, Shooter is always one of the first two or three people to answer the question. Shooter's a big winner, and he actually doesn't win that much. So that's two. And then, let's see, Craig Greenwood. Punch Nubbit, he's a big winner, and he got, he didn't put the answer in there, but whatever, I already picked him, so he won. So that's three, and I've got three more here. We're going to pick, we'll pick Irate Base, because I asked like three or four of his questions, and that's five, right? One, two, three, four. No, that's four. We'll pick Steve Wegner, and Donald Cosero. He hasn't won in a while. So there we go. Those are our winners. So you guys, all the winners I just announced, email me again. Put winner in your subject title and then give me your address. So we'll name those one more time. Rob Gibson, Shooter. Speaking of golf, Craig Greenwood, Irate Base, and Don Cosero. Those are the big winners. So again, guys, email me again, rob@cigarfederation.com. And if you didn't win, come back next week because we'll have more stuff to give away. So I think, you know, I told you guys to have you here for about an hour, and minus that little hiccup of the dual start, that was the false start on my that's a 5-yard penalty, by the way, false start. You know, funny, quick little funny thing. So false start in football, this is what the refs do, false start. And the first time I was watching a football game with my wife, they did a false start, and the ref said this, and she's like, ooh, that's traveling. And that's traveling, that's in the NBA, you do this. And I was just shocked that she even had any NBA knowledge. But my wife actually really knows her sports, but I was kind of funny. That's always a funny story for me. I always give her a hard time. But anyway, it's total non sequitur, and I just threw it out there anyway. I guess we'll just wrap it up. Guys, I appreciate you taking the time to hang out with us. It was a lot of fun. You boosted Tuna's ego a little bit. But,
this has been amazing. This is the best night this week. Gosh, this is great.
But I'm not going to hold it against you. And I definitely want to check out that 19th old Maduro. I'm pretty sure I've got one of those. And guys, if you like Ecuadorian Habano, a little bit of spice to it, Family Reserve, we're going to be sending some of these out to the winners. So check them out for sure. Really appreciate you guys hanging out with us, taking the time.
Thank you. And if you don't have the 19th hole, let me know. I'll mail you some.
I will. You know what? I might fib and say that I don't have any because it sounds like something that I'm really going to like. And that's the first time I've ever said fib on the show. It's just a little fib. But no, guys, really do appreciate it. Thanks for being generous with the giveaways and everything. And, you know, hopefully down the road we'll have you guys on and we can talk, you know, about some of the new stuff and how the brand is growing across the country. Really do appreciate it.
Definitely. When we get some more promo items and T-shirts and stuff or giveaways, we should do it again, and I'll send you some of those.
That's great, guys. That's awesome. Seth, Tuna, Big Tuna, with the bracelets and the T-bowl. Thanks for hanging out, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, this is wonderful.
Always fun to have the Tuna on. He knows so much more about tobacco than I do, so it's actually kind of weird to have me and Logan combined probably. So it's kind of weird to have somebody on the show that's hosting that knows a little bit about what they're talking about.
That's refreshing.
So yeah, take everything that we say with a grain of salt because you know, we just like to hear ourselves talk.
But, this is true.
Yeah, you know, it happens. But guys, thanks for hanging out with us. Everybody, thanks for the support of the show. We appreciate it. CigarFederation.com. We'll be back next week with Crux Cigars. Everybody have a good week. And, and be nice to each other. Have fun.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye, guys. Bye.